It is so good to be here. Well, it's nice and sunny and bright. And so we're just excited to be outdoors in the summer. Believe it or not, we've just got two more worship services outdoors this summer. Summer is almost all done. I know, that's not encouraging news, is it? But that's the case, of course. By the way, next week, we're very excited. We have one of the guys that has had him and his wife who have had one of the greatest impacts on my life. And so I'm personally really thrilled that Leo and Connie Teelwin is going to be here next week. And Leo is going to be preaching the word. And we're really, really excited about that. And I am very, very thrilled. I've known Leo for well over 35 years. And so, and I warned him not to share things about me that will bring any disrepute on me. But he generally doesn't listen to me in regard to that area. But so we're really excited about that. Also, I want to share with you that a number of you have asked me to extend the missions contribution to the end of August. And so, yes, and so what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and do that. And so if you've not yet given and you want to be able to give to that, that's awesome. And please, when you do that, please go ahead and make sure that your giving is designated missions contribution. And of course, what we want to do with that, we've helped a number of brothers and sisters that have moved from the Ukraine that are here. Also, we have another family that's going to be moving here shortly in a matter of weeks. And that's going to be coming here to Ottawa. And we want this place to be a refuge for them. Amen. In all areas, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. And so that's one of the things that we want to be able to have as a congregation. We're very, very excited about that. Our small congregation is able to house and encourage souls who are going through some incredibly, incredibly tough times. So I want to help you to understand that. Now, so the last Sunday of August, which is August 28th, we are going to be having our end of summer bash service. All right? And what that means is that we're going to have just a boatload of fun, and we want to have a potluck outdoor service. So, and so we're going to have some time. Don't worry about the drinks. We will supply the drinks. You just bring some food, and then we'll just enjoy some incredible fellowship on August the 28th. That's the last Sunday of this month. And we really look forward to that in a fantastic way. So that's some of the things that I wanted to share with you in regard to what's coming up here in the very near future. You know, it's quite interesting. If you're my age, one of the things that happens, which is old for some people, I'm 55 years old, and as you're turning 55 and you have become 55, there are a lot of your friends that are they're in an interesting stage of life. Some of them are actually having children who are having children, all right? And of course, it makes you feel that you're moving on in years. On the other side of that, some of my friends' parents are either very sick or perhaps even dying. As a matter of fact, one of the remarkable congregations in our fellowship, the church in Jakarta, they were actually the six couples who were some of the key leaders in the Jakarta church were actually going to come to Ottawa this week. And they were traveling through Canada, and they wanted to come and visit you, the church here in Ottawa. However, literally, while they were on their way here, they came to the conference in Orlando, and they wanted to see our beautiful country. And one of the leaders of the congregation, their parents, passed away. And so they needed to go back as he was ailing, and of course, to be there at his side, and Vanya's dad just passed away. One of the things as well, when you're my age, there are people that grew up that somehow when you hear their names, it does time travel in your mind. Right? And you remember, Olivia Newton-John is one of those people. You may not, if you're young, you may not know who that is.
I know who that is.
Stephanie knows who that is. But she just recently passed away. Another actress who were in some movies. Anne Hesh recently passed away. Or we think about people like, I remember where I was when Michael Jackson's a video came out, his first video, you know, when MTV was coming on. And he now is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. Whitney Houston. Yeah. Or some athletes. I remember watching sports, and you may or may not be a fan of the NFL football, but Junior Seau was one of the standouts for the San Diego Chargers. He passed away. And so one of the things that happens, especially when you're young, you don't think about that far into the future. As a matter of fact, you think sickness and death is impervious and cannot touch you. You're impervious to it. And the idea is, it doesn't even cross your mind. Yeah. And so I wanted to use the next few moments to leave you with some thought, not only from the idea of wisdom, but biblical wisdom. Amen. The Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 7, it says this. Chapter 7 and verse 8. It says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. So the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs are known as wisdom literature. It will make you wise. There are nuggets in them as you go about life, that you read and you realize, man, this is a pillar of wisdom for my life. And the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes generally acknowledged that it's Solomon, who was reputed when he was living on the face of the earth to be the wisest man. He gives us some advice and he says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. In other words, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. He goes on to say, and patience is better than pride. There are a lot of times, man, when I forsake patience because my pride, because in my desire to either impress people, principles that I used to adhere to overcome me and my mentality. Nonetheless, he continues and he says this in verse 9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Let's just that one sit there for a second. I don't need to say more. I think the Spirit is probably speaking to you as it is to me. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Oh, remember when? And what happens to my mind my body cannot cash the check that my mind is writing because I think about the good old days. Especially, I used to fancy myself a well-rounded athlete. And so then I started playing sports recently with some of the guys, and I realized, oh my goodness, that's not how I remember it. Anyway, it's food for thought. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. In other words, if you're living. Okay, that's the idea. Wisdom is just flat out a good thing. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this. Wisdom preserves those who have it. And so there's an idea there that wisdom is to be cherished. And there are ways to gather wisdom, of course, ultimately is from the Word of God. And of course, we acknowledge that wisdom and knowledge are two significantly different things in one sense. But one of the principles that Solomon is helping us to understand that how you end up in life is better than how you start. As a matter of fact, the world has stolen this idea, and people sell a lot of books on this concept. It's always so funny to me that people who take biblical concepts and somehow does TED Talks and seminars and write books on principles found in the scriptures. And I guess kudos to them for capitalizing on something. But honestly, the longer I live, anything that has universal truth to it, the principles can be found in scriptures. And it's amazing that the truth and God's wisdom is so powerful that you don't even have to be a follower of Christ and God in order for those wisdom to manifest itself in your life. That's how powerful this wisdom and truth is. Principles applied in your life based on Scripture because of the universality of the truth. It speaks not about God blessing those who are not his followers. It speaks about the power of truth and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And one of the principles that I want to talk about just for a few moments is this idea. Are you thinking about the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years in your life? There are people who are now saying, man, this is the most important time in your life. Right now, the decisions that you're going to make 3 to 5 years from now starts now. Where you are today are decisions, a lot of them, on things you've made 3 to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And the principle is this. You know, there's I believe it's a Chinese proverb that asks the question, well, when is the best time to plant a tree? The answer is 18 years ago. Why 18? I don't know. It just sounds good. Okay? Well, when is the second best time to plant a tree? If you didn't plant it 18 years ago and living in regret, it's now. And the idea is to think about where you're going to be in the future. Who are you going to marry? Are you going to have children? Where are you going to live? What kind of job are you going to have? What about your spiritual life? What are you building towards? Do you even think about it? So the idea of this concept here is to think about the future. Think about how you're conducting your life. It's just solid wisdom. Financially, it's an amazing, mind-blowing statistic. 76% of the people are not prepared for retirement now. One of the greatest inventions to mankind, compound interest, is being flushed down the sewer. And the preparation for that is not even part of our thinking. A lot of times we just think about tomorrow. Let me ask you perhaps a painful question. Where you are at today, do you like it? I'm not saying if well or not you think you're saved or God loves you. That's not, I'm talking where you're at today. And let me ask another question. What decisions did you make 3 to 5 years ago that is now affecting the way that you are today? And let's say we didn't think much about it. Is today then not the time to start thinking about the next 3 to 5 years, to borrow that idea from the Chinese proverb? And so I want to get you thinking about the future. Some of you moaned and groaned, the loudest from Granville, that summer is almost over. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but it's a reality. Let's take a shorter look. Is the summer what you expected of it? One of the things I talked to the interns about, I said, you're going to get out of this internship what you put into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's some people that this is going to be the best summer of their lives. For some people, why did I even do this? Mm-hmm. And it's generally directly proportional to how much effort you put into it. In life. And I love the generosity of our nation. Mm-hmm. However, there are a lot of people, because of that generosity, live in an entitled world. And somehow live in the same neighborhood, in the same world, in the same place, and see life so differently. I have found in my counseling and talking to people and having relationships, it generally is directly proportional to how much you are putting into it. Relationships. A lot of times people say, man, nobody calls me. And I ask a question. Go back and check your call log on how many calls you have made. I'm just saying, it's a time to think about what we get out of something is what we put into it. You know what the scripture says principally? You reap what? What you sow. And I know that's an important aspect. So that's the intro to a little section that I want to read in the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 12, we read about a scenario that Jesus encounters. And like we talked about last weekend, we've talked about a number of times. Generally, a question is asked, and Jesus uses that as an opportunity to teach a spiritual lesson. He does it all the time. Every time, almost. And so, this is no different. And so, we pick it up in verse 12, and it says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so Jesus uses that as an opportunity. Okay, let's talk about this. "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greeds. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And so Jesus understood what the reason behind the question was, which was, I need some money, and I need it now, and I need it quickly, and I don't care what's ultimately going to be in the end. I just want it now. And Jesus realized that patience, applied in what we looked about earlier, that this guy didn't understand the end is better than the beginning or the now. And pride had overcome him rather than patience and waiting for his inheritance. And in particular, he saw the reasoning for the question was because there was greed that was oozing from this man's lips. Now, the guy didn't say I needed to go buy a whatever. But Jesus understood his wisdom, understood the question, and then he proceeds to answer the question via a parable. And he says this, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for those whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." And so I ask you a couple of questions that only you can answer. I ask you to dive in the deep recesses of your heart, that even where you're afraid to go at times. So dark is that crevice, so untrampled, so much a territory that no one has excavated or explored, and you have not gone there even, or you don't go there very much at all. I ask you this question. How are you doing spiritually? There are things in your life when Grease came out and Olivia Newton-John was the talk of the town, so to speak, no one thought that she'll die and then she's no more. when Kobe Bryant suddenly passed away a couple of years ago. I mean, Kobe Bryant is a basketball player. And if you don't, he used to pack arenas. He signed deals literally worth hundreds of millions of dollars with endorsers. And in the blink of an eye, literally, his helicopter crashed and he died. You know what they're doing today? Today? They're fighting in court about the pictures that were released at his helicopter crash. Literally, there'll be tens of thousands of people screaming his name, and he's no more. I don't mean to. My point there is not at all. It's just to use this as an illustration. I hope Kobe and Kobe's family are doing well. I'm using that as an illustration. When God said of someone, you don't know what the future holds, so prepare yourself for it. Physically, we can't not take care of our body, and then when we're a little older, we cry about things that we should have done earlier in our life. Mm-hmm. It applies emotionally, spiritually. So I ask you a question. What are you planning and how are you going to accomplish it 3 to 5 years from now? Jesus used this as an opportunity and says, man, I know you want this money. I know you want it now. But I'm asking you a question. If you are not rich towards God, what good is that to you? What good? And one of the things about young men and women and having the 16 interns this summer, I see one of the things that is that thinking much beyond a few weeks is not the most common mentality with our young men and women today. You know how I know that to be true? I've experienced it, and it was the same case in my life. I thought this applies to other people, not me. I got this. And so I want to talk to the young men and women here, irrespective of what age you are. And so if you consider yours, yes. So Greg, I'm talking to you here. This section is for you. But the idea is this. If we don't plan for the next 3 to 5 years in our life, you're going to ask yourselves the same question 3 to 5 years from now. And unfortunately, it's not that we stay the same place. We either move forward or we digress. And so invariably, depending where we are in our life, there's some right now that are thinking, man, you're right. I'm regretful that I didn't think much about it. And so I beg you, use the second best time. The best time to have planned for today was 3 to 5 years ago. So we didn't do it. Okay. When's the second best time to plan for today? Today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I ask you just to be pensive and thoughtful. Consider your life. Consider where you're heading. Consider the direction. Hope is not always a good plan. Yeah. Hope is a good thing. Oh, don't misunderstand me. And so here's the tension in our lives. How do we apply faith principles and yet plan? Are these mutually exclusive things? You'll find the answer to that is no. Because Jesus had a plan to evangelize the world, and he had a specific plan. Choose 12 men, train them, send them out, and go all to all the ends of the earth. If he only wanted to sit there, and if there's anybody who could have done it, he chose men after he prayed and sought the wisdom from the Father and sought insight from the Father. It is not by happenstance and merely by faith. Or shall I say, blind faith. And so I ask you today, examine your life. Some of the greatest errors that people make is in choosing their spouses. And they live the rest of their lives based on that decision. You know, whenever I talk to people about choosing a spouse, I say, I know you're really attracted to this person, and that's important. But there are also very, very important principles of where this is going to be 3 to 5 years from now. And if that person is not spiritually based, you are playing Russian roulette with your spiritual life in your marriage. I'm not saying it can't happen, but most of the people that I counsel are decisions they made on who they got married to, and they did not think holistically about this decision. I know for me, the second best decision I made in my life was to get married to Melanie.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The first one was getting baptized into Christ.
Amen. Yeah. That comes first.
And when I made that decision, of course, she's stunningly beautiful. But it was based on a lot more than that.
Amen. Amen.
My wife is more beautiful on the inside than she is on the outside. And one of the principles that I applied to my life because it was given to me, and what I talk to my kids about, and people who ask me, I said, it's not whether or not your spouse is kind to you. It's if they're kind, period. Anybody can put on a show for one particular person. It's not whether or not they're gentle and compassionate towards you. It's whether or not they're gentle and compassionate, period. In other words, what is it going to be like 3 to 5 years? And I'm just using this as an example. You extrapolate to any area of your life. Let me get real. Those things that you watch on your computer, do you think what that's going to do through to 3 to 5 years from now? Living for the moment is a fallacy, and it's a lie straight from the depths of hell.
Yeah, oh, preach it, yeah.
And so today, I just ask you to be pensive and thoughtful that the end is better than the beginning. Or the today's terminology is start with the end in mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Start with the end in mind. I got to tell you, a little while ago, the Kuri came up to me and he's all fired up and excited. And he pulled me aside and he said, I have a job starting in September. I mean, we're very excited about that. But that started with him going to school and putting in hard work and doing what needs. In other words, he's reaping what he sowed a little bit ago. The joy in his face just fired me up. And so that's my question to you today. Relationally, in terms of relationships, where are they at? What do you put into it? Where's it going to be 3 to 5 years from now? What do I invest in? And so today, that's my thought. And we're thankful that Jesus had the end in mind when he went to the cross. The Bible says he considered for the joy set before him that you and I one day will respond to the cross. He didn't think about the torture and the rejection that he faced. He thought about you. Tuesday night, the family is right now visiting Julie's Francis in Timmins. Tuesday night, earlier in the week, Cole Francis, who had been studying the Bible, it's coming to reality that he's going to be going to McMaster in a couple of weeks. And he says, I want to get my life right with God. I want to get baptized into Christ. And he thought about the future and he says, if I'm going to go to McMaster and I'm going to leave the nest and the comfort of home and thinking about the future, my chances of surviving spiritually is infinitely better with the Holy Spirit as opposed to without the Holy Spirit. And so he went down into the waters of baptism. And Cole, from the outside, the world looks at him and says, that guy's got it all together. He plays national football, volleyball. He will play for McMaster University. Some of the girls say he's good looking. But he says, you know what? I am a mess and I need to get baptized into Christ. And I'm telling you, it was a cry fest at the baptism. Connor was uncontrollably crying for his brother. And then he calls us all. And he talked about, in his baptism, he shared, he says, I prayed that what I've experienced and the change of life in my life, that you, Cole, would experience what I experienced in my life. And he's literally quivering in his mouth and tears just falling on everybody. All 40, 50 people who were there at the baptism, tears falling from their eyes. It's funny, tears happens when you're happy and when you're sad. How does that happen? Yes, that's what it is, yes. So I said it to say, here's a living example of a guy who said, I'm going to think about the future. I appreciate young Mr. Lutz. Mr. Lutz is, believe it or not, a student at Kingston, at Queens. He's here more than anybody else. But Owen has called me a few times and said, Tony, I want to talk to you about a few things in my life. I'm thinking ahead here, and what do you think about these things? And I'll even buy you lunch. I said, you got me there. I always tell him next time he'll get me, though. But he's thinking ahead. It's uncommon for young people to do that and to think, where am I heading? I tell Owen all the time, you're an old soul. But Christ thought about us. He thought about what this was going to do. And so as we reflect in the communion, if you need a communion, please raise your hand. The communion interns, that's what I call them, communion interns. They're going to hand up. Please keep your hand up, and when you get one, please put it down so that we can go ahead and do that. But anyways, guys, this morning I just wanted us to enjoy some fellowship, but leave here with some thought about our life and be reflecting on what Christ has done for us. And what direction are we heading in? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the wisdom found in your word. And as the writer Solomon tells us, the end is better than the beginning. Thank you that it's never too late to change. It's never too late to change the outcome. And we see that with the thief on the cross, even though he lived all his life. At a moment's notice, he turned and he said, I acknowledge that Jesus is a good man. And that he had the ability to forgive his sins. Help us today that even though we may not be hanging on the cross, to think about where we're heading emotionally, relationally, spiritually, financially, mentally. And that, Father, the decisions we make today will be the most impactful things 3 to 5 years from now. Amen. Help us not to put off what can be done today to put it off for later. I pray especially for the young men and women that are listening to me, that they understand the decisions that they make today will have impact on their lives further along. Thank you for the impact that when Christ was going through the challenges of going to the cross, he thought about the end and not what it was at the beginning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.